The Dental Brief is brought to you by Omni Premier Marketing and the amazing guests who bring wisdom and advice that you can put to use to take your business and practices to the next level. Find us on Facebook and join the conversation. Get ready to grow because we are kicking off the next episode in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dental Brief. I'm so excited about today's show. Got some awesome information that you're going to be able to use today to help you in your practice. Let me go ahead and welcome our guest right away. Robert Spiel, say hello.
Hi. Great to be with you, Patrick. I appreciate it.
So glad to have you here. So glad for you to take your time to help our audience and give them the information that you're going to give them today. Before we jump into the subject of our show, tell us, how'd you get involved in dentistry?
Purely by accident. Which, yeah. I think you just, you know, before we got on, you mentioned the same thing. It's funny. Dentistry, yep, either finds you or you find dentistry. Yep. Dentistry found me while I was actually consulting in medicine after having been a hospital and surgical center CEO, and found that I was good at consulting in medicine, but I hated it.
Sure.
Just to be candid, because it's such a really broken, fractured environment that's largely government run now. And just happened to have a friend of a friend who was a dental consultant. He invited me on a consult. And Patrick, in 2 days, I fell in love with it. And that was like 15 years ago. Yep. I haven't looked back. 95% of my time is spent in dentistry. And I thoroughly love this industry because of the solutions. You know, the things that work in dentistry that take away stress, that add to production, that help teams be optimized, that help owners achieve their goals are all, yep, things that I just get excited about. So that's why I'm here.
Yep. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, healthcare and hospital systems and what have you. There's so much freedom, I think, in dentistry that so many of us forget about all the time, right? So many practices forget about. We've got all these headaches and challenges, and we're going to get into that here in a little bit. But there's just a ton of freedom in this business, can't there?
Compared to so many other industries, there is so much freedom, and I love that you bring that up. Yes. To me, dentistry is the greatest small business in America. Hmm. You know, there is just so much that you can do as an owner in terms of serving the public, but also expanding your capabilities and growing your team. And just it's just an endless amount of good that you can do if you continue to invest in yourself and your, yep, team.
So like a lot of our guests, you're talking to dentists all over the country. You do consulting, you get in there, you roll your sleeves up. You help dentists and practices out. Your phone rings. You get a lot of phone calls, right? And people that aren't feeling so free. What are those people asking about? What's that kind of common, you know, either complaint or that common question or that common challenge that dentists are asking you more now than they ever have before?
Yeah, there really, it boils down to a few things, but I'd say it all kind of is lumped into one subject matter, and that's hiring. Mm. Hiring these days has gotten more and more difficult as COVID, and we're dealing with the post-COVID, you know, fallout. In particular, among dental team members and also hygienists, there is a real difficulty at finding the right people. I like to unpack that and talk about how can you make your practice the practice people want to join. And, you know, then how can you be innovative in terms of how you find and attract and retain the right people? But it's a fascinating phenomenon that we've seen. And sadly, in some ways, Patrick, we set ourselves up for it, because I'd say about half of the dental practices in America when COVID hit 2.5 years ago, they just basically turned off the lights and stopped talking to their people.
Yeah.
And that was the exact wrong thing to do. You know, yep, all the practices that I work with, and I'm proud to say they all beat their 2019 numbers in 2020 after they came back. But I coached them specifically on, listen, you guys, in the absence of information, people assume the worst. You've got to be proactive with your team. You got to get them on Zoom weekly, tell them what you know, what you don't know, what we're doing, and where we're going. And practices, some did that. All of mine did. But half didn't. And then they expect to fire the lights back up and think, well, where's everybody? Why aren't they coming, yep, back? And then there was a concern among the hygiene staff also about, you know, health and safety and other things, because they're dealing with aerosols. And it just led to this almost implosion of candidates within the dental market. It was always a little bit difficult to begin with because we're a very, you know, particular niche, but that just made it more and more an issue. And it's something that I talk with my clients about all the time.
Yep. Yeah. And it is, you know, it's a problem. I'll say you go back to this when the lights went out. The other industry that we can think about that is having a huge staffing issue crisis is the service industry, right? Restaurants.
Oh, yes.
Their lights went out too, right? And you have groups of people from both of these industries. You know, we all go to restaurants, so we're very familiar with the issue at restaurants. We're also familiar with the prices at restaurants too, which unfortunately we haven't seen that in the industry that much, right? We haven't seen their prices go up nearly as much as you have, you know, the chicken sandwich at your local restaurant, which is huge, but they got pushed out of their jobs. So I think a lot of people that were in the industry are afraid to come back because they lost their job from no control of their own, right? They didn't get to come back, but a lot of them, I think, have that fear they didn't want to. But, and I know I'm kind of rambling on here a little bit, but the truth is, and I've said this a few times, we don't live in a day where people don't want to work. That's not the case. People are working, right? They're just not working where they were working before. And I feel like, and I think you're going to go here, if dental practices don't get their staffing right, if they don't fix that issue, it's never going to go away for them, right? This is going to be one of the hardest things for it to come over. Would you agree with that?
Oh, in a doubt. And I agree with you. It's not that people don't want to work. They do want to work, but they've learned to be much more choosy in terms of who they work with.
Yeah.
Okay. And what cause they want to stick their banner on and say, you know, this is where I'm going to be. COVID was a wake-up call for almost all of us. And it led to a lot of introspection about what I want to do and where I want to be and what I want to do.
Yep.
And so, Patrick, I spent a lot of time with my clients talking about how can you be the practice that's the magnet? How can you be the practice that people want to join and want to be a part of, okay, and want to stay? Because we know that people don't leave jobs, they leave bosses.
Right.
Which is a fascinating insight, but it's so true. And so I would just tell your audience to begin with, you know, in terms of solutions, if any of this rings true in terms of, man, I'm just not catching a break with being able to hire, the first thing I'd say is hold up the mirror. Mm-hmm. All right. Look at your practice itself and ask, would you want to be here? And then if the answer is, you know, I think there's some stuff I could do better, tell them, go get my, I wrote a book 7 years ago on small business leadership called Flip Your Focus. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is about how do you transform yourself as a leader to become that type of organization that people want to be a part of. So that's the first step that I'd give is, you know, pay attention to how they lead, how they build teams, and how do they create a culture that people want to be there?
Sure.
And then be really innovative in terms of how you attract and how you find talent, and also be quick about it. Used to be that we could take forever to get back to people. That is not the case anymore. You've got to be very, very quick in terms of your response time.
Yeah.
But be innovative, meaning there are lots of different places, not only the online marketplace, but, you know, using Facebook, using LinkedIn. I've got practices that are using TV. I mean, there are lots of ways that you can try to find and attract talent. But also be really, really clear with how you onboard.
Yeah.
Okay. We can go to great extents to find the right person. I teach a class on leadership. It's my gig. That's one of the greatest things that I love about this whole industry, because leadership actually works.
Sure.
And it actually can transform a practice into a next level type practice. And one of the things that I recommend is to, on onboarding, you use what's called a bullseye. And it's a very simple concept. You know, in our day and age, we throw people in the water and see how they swim. You finally found that right person, boom, throw them in the water. Let's see if they can do it. Today, you can't afford to do that. And it's not really right for the candidate, and it's not right for the practice. So instead, be really, really clear in terms of what are the first four things you want them to master.
And what are they?
And have everybody around that person know these are the first four things. This is their bullseye. Yep. And you meet back with them weekly to see how they're doing, what you're perceiving, what else they need to do. And yet they can't go to the next ring until they master that bullseye.
Sure.
And what's magical about that is that it works. It's so dang simple. And it allows those new team members to actually feel like they're set up for success instead of set up for failure.
So let me talk about this a little bit, and maybe you can give us those, what's the first thing, the second thing, third and fourth and bullseye. But
you know, it really depends on the position. Okay, yeah. So I can't really be prescriptive, because for a hygienist, for an assistant, for front office, depending on front office position, it just varies. For sterilization, it varies. But the practice should know what are their first four things. And then they have that discussion with a team member. They've already decided, you know, this is what we want you to zero on. And then everybody around them knows this is their bullseye. We're not going to take them anyplace else or ask them to do anything else until they've got that done.
Sure. That makes sense.
It works really well.
You talked a little bit about recruiting and using some non-traditional ways to recruit. And I think, you know, that obviously makes a lot of sense. Where are some places that you've seen some people have success, and how have they had success? You mentioned LinkedIn, Facebook.
Starbucks, to be honest with you. Okay.
You recruiting Starbucks employees?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Hmm. Yeah.
So be asking, keeping your cards if you like the way.
Be looking for people, be asking, do you want a career?
Yep.
Okay. Food service, in my estimation, is one of the greatest preparations for dentistry, especially clinical dentistry, because you learn how to grow eyes in the back of your head if you're really, really good at it.
Okay? Right.
And you've learned how to hustle. You've learned how to treat people nice. You learn how to deal with complaints. And you learn how to be on your feet. It's a marvelous, marvelous farm team to be able to find people. And that's part of it. We've got to be more open. It used to be we think, man, I've got to find somebody who's been in dentistry. That may or may not be true anymore. And I think more and more it's leading us to the point, listen, there's a whole nother universe out there we can actually attract people to.
Sure.
Dennis will say, well, wait, I really want to find a good assistant. But what if we could find somebody who could be a sterilization assistant to start with? They learn how to flip rooms. They learn how to sterilize. They learn basic procedures, and they're your farm team. You know, and it can be that Starbucks barista who's 17 years old, didn't go to college. She wants a career. Hey, would you like a career in dentistry? If she acts like she can hustle. You know,
so I know this is a little off topic a little bit, but it all goes together a little bit.
Sure.
What are a couple of things that you can think of, or that you know of, I should say, that dentists need to stop doing to make sure that they're not hiring the wrong person, right? A couple of bad habits that you see that, you know, typically ends up with a short-term employee or just an employee that's, you know, not going to work out. What are some bad habits you see there?
Biggest bad habit, frankly, is that as an industry, we haven't learned how to interview. We haven't learned how to survey. And so when we do have candidates come in, the dentist or the office manager typically takes up about 70% of the airtime, and they give the answers for the candidate to respond to. Okay. When I learned interviewing years ago, before I got into dentistry, a phrase that I'll always remember is the past is the greatest indicator of the future. And so if someone will just look up this phrase online, behavioral-based interviewing. Okay, and then look for behavioral-based interview questions. That's super, super helpful. Another thing that's really valuable, Patrick, is to know up front the characteristics of the person that you're trying to hire. Okay, so that you know what, not what they look like physically, but what do they look like in terms of their experience and their background.
Sure.
Yep. Okay, and if you're really intentional about both of those, you're going to be a lot better at being able to hire right the first time.
Yep.
And then use the bullseye method to keep them on board.
Yep, makes sense. We know that, you know, we know the cost of dental school. I mean, I guess we don't. It's probably gone up $50,000 in the last 10 minutes, but we know it's ridiculous.
Half a million is what I hear. It's just insane. Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, a lot of money that is invested into this career, but at the same time, if you're not making an investment into hiring one way or the other, it can cost you hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars over a career. Do you think that's fair?
It will. Absolutely. Because your team, one of the coolest things about dentistry is your team literally can become your hands. All right. That is not the case in medicine. All right. It's not the case in most industries. But in dentistry, your team can become your hands. They can be making money for you, servicing patients exceptionally well, and extending what you do and provide if you invest in them.
Sure.
Okay.
Makes total sense. Yep.
Yeah.
Let me direct our audience to your website. We'll post a link on our website and on social media, spielconsulting.com. Up in the top right corner, you've got a button that says request a complimentary consultation. What happens during those consultations that you do?
We just listen. The biggest thing that I ask is tell me about your dreams and what's getting in the way. Because one of the things that makes what I do and my associates do so unique is that we really are trying to figure out exactly where a dentist wants to go and what's getting in the way of getting there. So we don't have a book. We don't have a program. I do have a template and I know what the goal is, but it's very customizable and very experiential, because the other thing we found is that adults learn best on their feet when they're playing games, when they're doing things that actually help educate them, and then they have discoveries and find new ways of doing things. So we're pretty unique in that, but we love it. Really do.
Awesome.
But it's Spiel Consulting, which is S as in Sam, P as in Peter, IEL. And if I can also put in a quick plug for just one last thing, in addition to this whole hiring piece, probably the biggest chronic problem, Patrick, that I found in dentistry is not just hiring team members, but also hiring other dentists.
Mm.
Okay. That's even a bigger issue because it's a foundational issue.
Sure.
The team creates a superstructure, but the dentists are the foundation. And so because of that issue, because as an industry, we've had a 75% failure rate for decades, which means 75% of the time, that new doctor that's hired within a year is gone. And they're doing it again. It is crazy. With a business partner of mine, I started a practice or a consulting firm called Dentist Partner Pros. Okay, that's...
Yep.
Dentist Partner Pros, all dedicated to helping find the right associate the first time. Just like the goal is to find the right hygienist or the right assistant or the right front desk team member the first time. We are dedicated to the even tougher piece of the puzzle, bigger piece of the puzzle, which is how do you find the right dentist the first time,
yep.
Have them stay and turn into a thriving team member.
Yep. And I'll just add something to that. And this goes with hiring anyone, right? But if you have 2 or 3, 4 unsuccessful associate placements, right? A practice does, they have a reputation, right? And if you have a bunch of employees that you can't seem to keep on board, it doesn't take very long before you have a reputation. Then it's even harder to hire. Do you agree with that?
That's correct.
So important to get this stuff right.
Yep. It is.
Well, one more time, I want to encourage our audience to go to your website, Spiel Consulting. Bob Spiel of Spiel & Associates, grateful to have you here. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it.